Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are going to talk about the Shannon Air Museum this morning. We're also an air show is coming up, and we welcome to the program Luke Curtis, the owner of Shannon Airport. Luke, good to have you here this morning. Good morning.
Good to be here with you, Ted. It's
been a long time since I have seen you. We were talking off air. You and I go way back.
Way back.
Only Detroit
Lion fan in 800 miles.
There aren't many of us, and we don't win often. So that is true. Gary Skinner's here from the Spotsylvania Board of Supervisors. He's also involved with Shannon Airport and the Air Museum. Gary, good to have you here this morning.
Good morning. Glad to be back, Ted.
Let us first of all, Luke, you've owned Shannon Airport now for a couple of years out there on Route 2, a historic airport and an important airport to this area.
Yes, Ted, really is an important airport to the area. 2014, we took it over, but Sid Shannon Jr. started the airport in 1950, built the airport there. His father actually had the first airport in Fredericksburg, where the fairgrounds is, the first Fredericksburg airport. And his father started Eastern Airlines with Eddie Rickenbacker. Eddie Rickenbacker was the president. Sid Shannon Sr. was the vice president.
Okay.
So the history of airlines is
right there. Yeah. No, I had no idea of that. Now the Air Museum itself, I didn't realize there was the Air Museum initially was here, and then it went away for a while.
It was actually at the airport. Sid Shannon Jr. built the Air Museum to recognize his father, and it's one of the rarest collections in the world of antique aircraft of Golden Age aircraft. Some of the only aircraft in the world are in that museum. So it's pretty neat,
and we're going to get into all that this morning of what's there, when you can see it, and all that. Before you became involved with the airport, there was a real concern that the airport was going to that it may shut down and go away.
Well, yes, in the years after Mr. Shannon passed away, in the 81, I believe he passed away, the airport was bought out and started to be divided up. It was 125 acres originally; it's 62 acres now. They developed the area, some developers. A couple of individuals got involved in it and did a great job. Robert Stanley and Billy Toombs did a great job preserving the airport for us and keeping it. And I actually bought it from them, but they were good stewards of taking care of it and keeping it. They lived off of it, and it had a lot of needs.
You having fun doing all this?
Oh, it's fun. It's a blast.
Gary, you've got there are a number of areas that this I know interests you, but you've got a lot of flying experience.
Right, 20 years in the Marine Corps, basically flying the A6 Intruder, part of Desert Storm with 533 VMA AW 533, and when I see these classic airplanes, being in a war and then coming back and seeing like the SPAD 7 and stuff of that, you look at that and you go, man, that was all your ability to fly to stay alive in a war and stuff like that. So as I go through all these airplanes, which are really unique, I'm just very grateful that I have a chance to be part of the museum as a docent and stuff of that nature and give those presentations to people that come along.
Fantastic. Gary's got his call sign is Mule Skinner. I don't think people realize
I didn't.
That. It's Mule Skinner. Isn't that correct?
That's correct, sir. Absolutely. Yeah, just a call sign that I had in the Marine Corps.
The pictures I've seen of the museum, for people that know airplanes, even if you don't, there's some pretty cool things right here in our backyard.
Ted, I'll tell you, here's one thing that nobody, every time somebody new enters the front door of the museum, the first words out of their mouth is, wow. They're looking at a hangar, and they're not expecting to see what they get. You know, 100-year-old airplane, 99-year-old plane. We've got an airplane in there that's the only one in the world left. We've got one aircraft, the Standard E-1, which is one of two in the world left there. And so, and very popular, these airplanes that we have in there, for pilots and mechanics, you may like to know about the engines, but something you can guarantee with these airplanes, there are some fantastic stories behind each one of these airplanes. And that's what the docents do. We talk, the engines are there, the speeds and all the facts about mm-hmm. this airplane are there for them to read, but they have no idea about we have an aircraft that won the only the gold medal in the Olympics in 1936. Okay, it was the only time they ever held that aeronautical acrobatic event, and we have one of those airplanes sitting right there to take a look at.
Huh.
We have an airplane in it at Lindbergh, wanted to buy to fly to Paris. We have the Pecarin, which is part of Eddie Rickenbacker and Mr. Shannon's purchase of Eastern. In this case, it was Eastern Transport Incorporated at that time.
Yeah, the Pitcairn. The Pitcairn,
yeah,
Gary.
Yeah,
that was when they flew the mail. And
yeah.
That's how Eastern started. It was Pitcairn, as Gary said, and they basically flew the mail from Richmond to Atlanta.
Yeah, that's correct. Correct.
Stopped Spartanburg, Greenville, back in the 20s and 30s, late 20s and 30s, and the Pitcairn is in the museum was the Pitcairn that flew the 50th anniversary of Eastern Airlines. Frank Borland was in it, the astronaut, and it's pretty neat. And then, of course, Dick Merrill is part of the museum. Dick Merrill is he was the curator of the original museum, and Dick was here, and he was the first pilot to fly across the Atlantic and back with a passenger, and he's all over in aviation history. And he was the first Eastern Airline pilot with how many hours he had?
Well, he had over 46,000 hours. We got a plaque in there showing 44,111 hours, but I've done a little bit more research, and it shows that he was having over 46,000 hours. And here's a comparison. I was in the Marine Corps for 20 years, and after that, I got 3,600 hours in the 20 years. So 46,000 over his lifetime. Yeah. I think he may have been in the air more than he was on the ground.
Sounds like it, yeah.
He loved it, and he was a great guy. He was a senior pilot for Eastern.
But look, when you hear about this kind of what you've got there, I mean, it's like the Smithsonian South.
Well, it's, you know, as Gary said, when people walk in, if you look, there was an ad in a piece in the Huffington Post last night about 12 reasons to fall into Fredericksburg. And the Shannon Air Museum was the third reason. And the individual who wrote the article said she wasn't really interested in a bunch of old planes. And she said she certainly is glad she stopped in. And it's a pretty neat article about the Shannon Air Museum in Fredericksburg. So it's when you walk in the door, it's amazing to look at it. I mean, it's great.
ShannonAirMuseum.com, a good website to start off with and get all kinds of information. There's also a Facebook page. Luke Curtis here. Gary Skinner here. We're talking about the Shannon Air Museum. There's an air show coming up. We're going to talk about that too. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
The Shannon Air Museum in Spotsylvania, our focus this morning. Luke Curtis here, the owner of Shannon Airport. Gary Skinner also here on the Board of Supervisors and also involved with the Air Museum. Gary, on the just looking at the Air Museum and the airport in the county, this is a great thing for Spotsylvania County to have a healthy Shannon Airport in operation and the museum.
Well, I've got to give the credit to Mr. Curtis here because, you know, he's put a lot of his personal money into that and funded it. And I'll tell you, it's great because you got to think of the fuel tax that we get, too, the VRE fuel tax that we're getting. And, you know, we go through quite a little bit of gas there, and we're picking up quite a little bit of money each year. Plus, we have a beautiful restaurant in there. We actually have people fly in for what you call the $100 hamburger. Okay, it's because that's what the hour flight, you know, stuff and back and forth to it, but we're getting more people every day coming to the airport, and every time they come in, they stop at the fueling. We have self-serving fuel there, and so they fill their airplanes up, and Spotsylvania gets the credit for all that tax for transportation. So it is a valuable asset. But you know, Ted, the other thing is, it's also a historical thing too. Just across the street, we have Slaughter Pen Farm connecting right to us. The runway, which Luke can expand on a little bit, has more history of the Civil War than people would think and everything. So, you know, when I support the museum, it's because this is not only history, but it's tourism. And I know Civil War is big in Virginia. We want to respect that and everything. But there's other forms of history that we have to teach our children. You know, the world of aviation is fantastic. It's good paying jobs. There's so many different jobs associated with that for our children. And in the future, hopefully, we'll have another museum, about 25,000 square foot, put up there. But we're going to focus on children. So children can come out and learn what aviation is about, possibly fly a little simulator, stuff like that. They enjoy it, and they understand it early. Age it. This is a good life, and you know, pilots in aviation get paid pretty well.
Yeah. I was speaking of. We were going to get into that. We will right now. Right now, you're in the hangar. The museum is, but I know you've got big plans of trying to expand this.
Well, we the hangar that it's in is actually 60 years old, and it's been refurbished. But it was actually the hangar they were worked in. So some of them were kept in that hangar. Actually, the Robin's Nest Cafe at the airport is called the Robin's Nest Cafe because the 1929 Curtiss Robin was in that hangar and the Standard E-1. So these planes were actually refurbished, many of them, there at the airport. So the original hangar is now the museum building. And then the expansion would be, as Gary mentioned, next to that, to have a hangar that's 25,000 square feet. We want to make it a living experience. You know, with the docents, when people come, you get to go through and you get to hear about the aircraft. We want to make it so, as Gary said, you know, kids of all ages, 2 to 92, but kids coming up, too, could get involved in aviation, do things. You know, it's great to sit on an iPad, an iPhone, but, you know, as you get out and you put your hands on things and learn how to do things, you can really grow. And you know, there's a lot of opportunities in aviation. You don't have to be a pilot. I mean, you can be an air traffic controller. You can be in maintenance. You can be in an airport and work in an airport. We got one of the best aviation schools in Virginia at Liberty University. I think it's now third in the nation.
So I didn't know that.
Great exposure. Yeah. They have over 300 almost 400 students, aviation students in Lynchburg. But It's a great opportunity. Then the Hall of Fame, the Virginia Hall of Fame, the VAHS, which I think we're going to talk about a little bit here, the Virginia Aeronautical Historical Society, they're the ones that do the Hall of Fame work in the state of Virginia for aviation, and they're based here now at Shannon. So they've moved their base to Shannon, and the Hall of Fame is going to be at the airport. Pilots all through Virginia aviation history, actually some of them national history. So that will be housed at this new museum. So you'll be able to walk through this museum and see an aircraft, touch an aircraft, get into an experience. You know, we have the Marine Museum up the road. That's a great museum to go to and see, you know, you kind of step into history. That's how we want to present this museum.
As you've been describing that, I was just going to say to you, this sounds a lot like the Marine Corps Museum. That's where we're headed with this.
Yes, yes.
Well, and what's really exciting is that as you two have described what you can see right now, there's a lot there right now, but obviously you're thinking a whole lot more steps into the future.
How many planes are in the hangar? There's nine in the hangar right now.
There's nine right now in the hangar, and we got another 11. Yeah. We got a total of about 20 aircraft sitting in another hangar. And we've got a Stinson, we got the Fairchild, we got a fleet. I mean, we have a model of a fleet that you're going to see, a quarter scale of it. And these are the airplanes that used to fly up to the dirigible, hook onto a hook, and actually be pulled up into the dirigible, maintained and everything. They could carry four in a dirigible. We actually have a fleet that was used by the Army for training. And these are things we hope to rotate some of these airplanes in to the museum we have now and take some out so people that see it twice will see something different each time. But it'll be wonderful to have a larger museum, which we're going to start a foundation, getting money and donations and stuff of that nature. And we're going to have a beautiful museum here. And it's going to be, again, it's going to be towards tourism too. Okay, and this is going to be a destination when you come to Fredericksburg. You got to see the museum. People already know it, and I guarantee you, people will come back. And I just sometimes open the door and let a pilot look in, and he doesn't have time to go through, but he goes, "Oh my gosh, I'll be back."
Yeah. I was going to say,
go ahead. You know, well, it's a nonprofit. It's Shannon Air Museum LLC, so it's a nonprofit. It is, as Gary said. Not only do we want to have the new building, but there'll be a venue for for banquets and meetings. And the Hall of Fame banquet for the state is being held in Fredericksburg on October the 28th, the evening of the air show. Pretty neat. Some pretty neat people are going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame that night. So
there's nothing like this. I'm trying to think. This is really a unique opportunity that's being created here.
It is, you know, and we're stewards of it. We're stewards of the area here. We feel very much a part of the area, the region, really, the state. The state's very involved, and they're very excited about it. State aviation. You know, we have one of the best. I believe we have the best state aviation director in the country, Randy Burdett. He lives in Stafford. Many people don't know that.
Yeah.
But he's our state aviation director, and he's a member of the VHS and many others. Dave Young with Liberty, Van Crosby, guys that are just very involved. Gary.
Well, and a lot of this has been taking place. So you've kind of methodically been putting this into place, kind of quietly. And but like you say, Gary, people are coming and seeing it, and you know. If they don't have a chance to look around, they're saying, I'll be back.
They will every time. And, you know, our expansion is going to be something good to look at. But, you know, people don't really know about it until we say, and I always talk to people, come in, I said, we do have a museum here. And we have a wonderful restaurant, and we hope to expand this whole thing. And probably one of the reasons that we really haven't publicized a lot of it yet, we want to make people, when they come in, feel that they're getting the service they deserve, okay? And so our snack bar is very good food, great food, but yet, you know, it takes a little time. We got to get the right equipment back there and expand our kitchen. And then we're going to move the flight school so that we have a building for just the models and historical stuff, the museum office and
now
stuff.
Wait, our snack bar has the...
Our restaurant
has the best Cuban sandwich of Havana. And I'm a Tampa boy. You know that,
because
you always pick on me about the Bucks. So forgive me for picking on you about the Lions. But the Bucks, I've had.
So what's it called, a Cuban?
The Cuban sandwich. We have the best Cuban sandwich north of Havana, we say. Because in Florida.
What's in a Cuban sandwich?
Well, it's the way it's pressed and the bread. And,
okay.
And it's really a great sandwich. And people try to make them. But if you're not from Florida, you probably don't know what they really taste like. But we have the best Cuban north of Havana.
And I ask if the Cuban was good, and they say it was great. So it's a great thing, like I said. We do have a restaurant there, and hopefully someday we'll have the equipment that we really need to do a big party and stuff of that nature.
Well, now see, the Cuban sandwich is interesting because I've only heard of the milkshakes, and County Administrator Mark Taylor, that's all he talks about, is always telling me, go on over, and I never have gone over there, obviously.
Oh, you got to get him. Come on over and get a milkshake.
But the milkshake is what he's for years, the last couple of years, has just raved about that.
Well, you know, Sid Shannon Jr. had a restaurant at the airport back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. In fact, I sat next to Dick Merrill when I was 18 years old, had no idea who I was sitting next to.
Yeah.
Just, you don't appreciate things that you should, but... we were at that little horseshoe bar at his little restaurant, and they had the best milkshakes. And of course, Mr. Shannon had the Shannon Greens, which is now Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Shannon had that golf course, and he used to, his cattle, he would bring the beef down to the restaurant at the airport and at the Sheraton at the time.
Yeah.
And they would make the best hamburgers out of locally grown beef, local beef. And they had the greatest milkshake at the time.
So you're keeping up with history. It's history. Now the museum someday when that all comes in the Hall of Fame and everything's going to be right there at Shannon.
Right there at Shannon. It's going to be right at Shannon, and you know, we hope to incorporate many things. We call it a campus, so it's actually the Shannon campus. We want to do camps for kids, as Gary had mentioned earlier. We want to do camps with kids in the summer, aviation camps, you know. Next year, possibly, we're going to have the Tuskegee Airmen trailer come, which is really neat about we can do it. And those are great airmen. You know, we're not going to be a museum. We're not trying to be a museum for, you know, white people, black people, red people, yellow people. We're a museum for aviators and all genders, all creeds, all races. And that's what we want to just show, the aviation history, which is neat. So we want to really... appreciate things like the Tuskegee Airmen, who were great pilots.
Yeah, yeah, boy, right there. You start thinking of the possibilities, and it's pretty exciting what you can do and what you can draw in and what you've already got.
Yes, yeah, it's exciting.
Dad, I'll tell you something that's exciting when I tell people this. But most aircraft that they flew over the ocean in those days, you know what they did? They put 40,000 to 50,000 ping pong balls in them. Ping pong balls are very light, but they're very buoyant. So if the airplane was to land in the ocean on a failure, engine failure,
it would float.
It would not sink.
Oh, okay.
It would float. And we show them. We actually have a ping pong ball on display. And I have a picture showing Dick Merle and Harry Richman putting those ping pong balls into their airplane as they were flying over to the coronation of King George, who was the father of Queen Elizabeth. Okay.
Yeah.
The other thing we got there, see, it's aviation, but we also have Admiral Byrd's sled and some outfits that they wore to the South Pole, okay, on the first expedition. And we also have something that's very important, is a Norden bomb sight. And Norden bomb sight gave the airmen or the American forces able to drop bombs from 30,000 feet very accurate. And that's good because really at that time, the only threat they had would be the enemy aircraft attacking them because the ground guns could not get them over 14,000 feet.
Yeah.
So those are nice things that we show. You know, there's a lot of articles. We have a paper 90 years old from the Chicago Daily Tribune. It's How I Did It in Slindbergh's interview with them. It's sitting there. It's in a case, and it's 90 years old, like I said. It's just when you walk in there and you see these things, you go, wow. I mean, you listen, watch what he does and say, and it's a marvel. It really is. It's so exciting. And I enjoy doing it because people who go with me sometimes tell me something more about the airplane that I didn't know. There's some people out there that have experience that you wouldn't believe. And so as I take them through, somebody will say, oh, by the way, this airplane did this. I had an Eastern airline pilot come through. He worked for them for 28 years, and all he got was 26,000 hours. So I refer back that to Dick Merle with 46,000 hours.
Yeah.
He loved it. Hey, why don't you talk about Arthur Godfrey?
Well, yeah, Arthur was from Leesburg, Virginia. And in fact, the Leesburg Airport was originally his farm area.
Yeah.
And, Arthur was a guy that flew around the world in Learjet with Dick Merle. They broke so many records, but we've actually got some memorabilia from Arthur, his cigarette lighter he used to smoke in the plane. Yeah. In fact, you can go to back when they smoked in planes, the pilots did.
Yeah.
You look at that as a pilot, and you're kind of thinking, I don't know if I'd do that. But anyway, neat stuff. A lot of stuff from Eddie Rickenbacker signed and things. We have more, I believe, we have more Eastern paraphernalia than Eastern had.
Sounds like it.
It's really interesting, as Eastern was one of the big four airlines. And, to know that Sid Shannon Sr. really was raised right here at Lee Hill Farm down by the pool, in fact, right across the river here, right there in Fredericksburg, the old house that's next to the pool. That
soccer
was built,
player.
Yeah, the soccer field. That is where Mr. Shannon was raised.
Okay.
And basically that was Spotsy at the time. So he started Eastern Airlines by marrying the daughter of the owners of
the country club. He was nothing more than a carriage driver at that time, and he was fortunate because the owner of the country club had a daughter. They fell in love, and started his fortune from that and everything. But back to Arthur Godfrey, we have a full hour video there, 45 minutes to an hour, that he shows. He actually flies the Constellation because that was a great aircraft, and he takes you up, and his co-pilot happens to be Dick Merle, and they shut three of the four engines down. The airplane's great. The only reason the Constellation didn't stick around a long time was because the 707 came out, and it was more efficient and better to fly than that one. But Arthur Godfrey was a radio host.
Back in the day.
That was his job.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, he you really talked to him. He goes through the whole instrument approaches. They show you, and it's a good time. If you got time to sit and watch it, you'll learn a lot about aviation.
Just in this first half hour, we have learned about a Cuban sandwich. We have learned about ping pong balls and Mule Skinner. So we are just... We are just setting all kinds of records here. We're talking about the Shannon Air Museum, shannonairmuseum.com. Luke Curtis, Gary Skinner here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the air show coming up, and we're going to talk about hours and lots more as we talk about air history right in our own backyard. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFEA. It's 8:32.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFBA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Luke Curtis and Gary Skinner here this morning. We're talking the Shannon Air Museum and an air show that is coming up on the 28th. We're going to talk about that in just a second. ShannonAirMuseum.com, the website. Luke, what are the hours for the when can people come on by and see the museum?
Well, the hours are Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And Tuesday through Saturday, you can come by appointment.
Okay.
It's closed on Sundays and Mondays, but of course, if someone comes on a Monday or Tuesday, we'll definitely get them through.
Yeah. Okay. Again, the website has a lot of good. There's pictures and just a lot of good information. ShannonAirMuseum.com. Now on the 28th, an air show coming up, and I see on the flyer it mentions the first air show in 36 years.
It is the first air show in 36 years. Sid Shannon used to have Father's Day air show every year, and the last one was 1981. So this is the first air show in 36 years, and it's going to be exciting. This is our third annual fly-in in our Harvest Festival. We've had this. This is the third year for the Harvest Festival. We've had a candy drop for kids. This year we're doing a little different because of the air show, so we're not going to have necessarily a candy drop out of a plane.
Yeah.
But kids will be able to trick-or-treat around certain aircraft, and pilots will give out candy, and everyone that's going to be there, there'll be food vendors there, you know, moon bounce, some little train rides, and, of course, all the planes to see. And everyone's going to give out candy. So this is an exciting event, 10 to 4. Is the event. It's $7 for an adult, $5 for a child. It's $20 for a family. So if you got a family of 12, that's the highest you're going to pay.
Yeah.
And that covers everything inside except for food and if you want to buy gifts. But all the rides and the moon bounce are covered in that. And, of course, the air show is covered in that. So it's covering the cost of the air show. Plus, we're going to donate the reserves to the Shannon Air Museum.
Okay. Okay. Well, this it's on the 28th.
Saturday the 28th.
From 10 to 4.
10 to 4.
And the Flying Circus is going to be there.
Flying Circus is going to do an air show. The air show is going to take place between 1 and 2:30. There will be plane rides available. There'll be a charge for that. There'll be a plane ride, but they'll be very reasonable compared to what they usually are. Basically just paying for fuel.
Yeah.
And so you might even get a ride in a biplane, which is pretty neat.
I've ridden in one with the Flying Circus a couple of times.
So and, you know those guys.
Oh, they're fantastic.
They're fantastic.
And to be in a biplane and to have the wind blowing around you, it's really pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. It's great. And that's an experience. That's a different experience than aviation, to fly in a biplane.
For a person who's never gone to an air show before, what happens at an air show?
Well, of course, you come in, and we're unique. You get a little more with our air show because you get candy, you get some rides and things like that. And, you can look at antique planes. You're talking to pilots.
Yeah.
There's other vendors there, too, with gifts, and commemorative Air Force will be there. You've got the Aeromasters that have the we don't want to call them they're scale airplanes, small model flying airplanes. So they're very, very neat. And just all types of things, all types of aircraft. There'll be some vintage T-6 aircraft there, all types of different aircraft that fly in. Now, we've got a little unique,
Buckaroo.
The Buckaroo, which is kind of a flying wing, yeah. A double wing.
Canards. It's got two canards on it, one forward, one back. And it was part of the museum at Richmond, and we got it. We'll have that out there to show kids. It's a two-seater. It's unique. It's a little acrobatic, about 4 G's and then 1 negative G that you can do in it. So you could take people up and do an acrobatic things with them if they'd like to, or just fly and fly. Flying is fun.
And, yeah. And on top of that, you know, you've got the other 12 aircraft that are not seen in the museum right now. Many of them will be out on the ramp, plus people that fly in, and there'll be it's a fly-in as well. So there'll be people flying in from all over the region, Maryland, North Carolina, Virginia. So it's pretty neat.
Well, if you've got kids, they're never going to forget this.
No, it's really something you don't want to miss.
But and if you're an adult, you're going to have a good time just walking around. And
great. It is great for kids and adults. Just the aircraft and the event there, and just being around. You know, the airport is one of the as it's on a battlefield. Basically on the edge. It actually was part of the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a beautiful layout of land, too, just to be there. And it's a great place to be on a Saturday that's a beautiful day in October.
Yeah.
And this is also a state
One of two state-sponsored aviation fly-ins. So it's the state of Virginia DOVA. In fact, the DOVA will be the Department of Aviation.
Yeah, and then, like I said, this is to recognize how far Shannon Airport has really come and what Mr. Curtis has done to it to make it that way. And so, like you said, it's a great scene. And for kids, if they like trains, we got trains going by at the end of the runway
Absolutely.
All the time. They can
planes,
see that.
Trains and automobiles.
And we have a nice porch out there that we won't be at, you know, that area for. But on a daily basis, you can bring your children out there, sit on the porch in the restaurant, and watch planes land and take off the whole time.
Gary keeps giving me accolades for all I've done, but actually, he's been a big supporter of the airport for a long time in the community. And I can tell you, there's not a guy that supports the community that I know better than Gary Skinner as a whole. And other guys, like the pilots that were there, the Air Wing guys.
Absolutely.
The Air Wing guys were pilots that have been there that went down to Richmond, dismantled these planes, brought them back. We put them on our trucks, brought them back from Richmond. After 30 years to the month, they showed up. 30 years to the month that they left Fredericksburg.
Wow.
They came back. And these guys put them back together as a labor of love. And they're the docents, the Air Wing, the Shannon Air Wing, we call them. And then Don Cirio, who is our... who has actually worked for Mr. Shannon. And Don is our museum curator now. Zero, we call him Don Zero Cirio.
Yeah.
So we got Mule Skinner and Zero Cirio.
What a great place to be around. Well, I was just going to say, Luke, that you look at, boy, timing is everything, and the timing here has been just really remarkable.
You know what? By the grace of God, you know, we're stewards of what we have.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're all stewards, and no U-Haul's behind any hearse. So I hope I can give back to the community like these guys have, like the community's given back to me.
Well, Gary, it's the other thing that comes to mind when I think of in the possibilities and what's coming up in the future at this site, and you think of the possibilities with the county. You've been involved with the soccer complex just down the road a ways in that part of the county, and very quietly a couple of major things are coming into place here that are going to be big players for the economy in this region.
Well, you're right. That was the VYSA that had their national tournament here. The finals were held in Dallas, but this is where the East Coast found out who was going. That was 15,000 people.
And they're coming back, aren't they?
We got a two-year contract with the association. They'll be back next year. And, of course, as we learn, we learn as we do things. So what was weak this year may not be weak next year. We'll find a way to solve any problems. But, you know, when you look at the economy and what 15,000 people come here, and this was a big tournament, but what people don't realize, we're having constant tournaments throughout the year on the weekends that are still bringing a lot of money. So as far as the county helping with this complex, okay, it has paid us big revenue back in doing, and will continue to do that too. And that's this, because they're only on the soccer field, 2 hours a day, and these tournaments are 5 days long.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, that last tournament, we had to get, took hotel rooms all the way up to Springfield, Alexandria, and stuff of that. That's how many people showed up for it. So it wasn't just a Spotsylvania. It was a regional partnership in this thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to do for the county, is the more regional partnership we get, the better the county is, and more support we get on this thing. I want to go back to one quick thing, too, and the dedication of our Air Wing, these guys who have actually – I believe one or two were here when Mr. Shannon was, and they did all these aircraft and moved everything and put them back together in about a 4-month time period. And if you've taken a look at a bi-wing with all the, and they're not just hook them and tighten them, they got certain tensions and stuff like this. So there was a lot of dedication and a lot of love for these airplanes, and that's what makes it so neat. These people are doing it because they love the aircraft, and they love and they know the value of what we got at Shannon Air Museum.
Well, and I think, look, I remember going as a kid to the Smithsonian and coming east and going to the Smithsonian. The thing I always remember is seeing Lindbergh's plane hanging there. And you've got planes, as you two have described, you've got just as historic planes right here in Spotsylvania.
The Vaulty V1A is the only Vaulty left in the world. Jerry Vaulty built it. And actually, a lot of the Vaulty, if you want to know who Vaulty is for those aviation enthusiasts, Vaulty, he died in 1938 in a crash in a Stenson. But the company went on, and the Vaulty company merged with Consolidated and became Convair. And Convair, the 880 and many jets that we have today.
Yeah.
But Jerry Vaulty, when he built Vaulty, he built 25 single engines that were Vaulty V1As. There's 25 of them. There's only one left, this one. This one was owned by Randolph William Hearst. And
wow.
It flew in this plane that we have. It flew people, Clark Gable, Greta Garbo, Charlie Chaplin was in it. So many others were in it because he flew his girlfriend from Hollywood to the Hearst Castle. So that's where this plane came from. And it's the last one left in the world. It was dedicated to Dick Merrill by Sid Shannon, so it's called Lady Peace 2. And it's the last one in the world left. That's it.
Wow. Do you have anything that Howard Hughes was involved with?
Well, you know, believe it or not, because of all these guys' connection in that time frame, they all knew each other.
Yeah.
There is we have a little video that is Howard Hughes in it, but I think Howard was involved with Dick and all these guys in some ways with some of these aircraft. They knew each other in many ways. They were all, you know, racing in aviation to get somewhere.
So, yeah.
Go the fastest, get someplace there the first, and stuff like that.
We have the library we don't talk about, and it's not set up yet. We do want to have a library, but I would say we have one of the most comprehensive aviation library of books around. Just from the beginnings of flight history. And we're hoping on the field to have a library built soon in the old house on the airport. So it's going to be a neat idea where someone can come in and sit down and study.
And you'll learn there, too, by the way, the Wright brothers had a lot to do with flying. The nation wouldn't acknowledge him as the first in flight.
But wait a second. My ancestor, Glenn Curtis. No,
I'm sorry now. You know,
mine's spelled a little different.
You know,
he was the one that did the engine for the Wright brothers. Right?
There you go.
Really?
Yes, Glenn Curtis was an engine guy. Wright brothers were aviation guys. Glenn wanted to build a plane to see how fast his engine could pull it. The Wright brothers said it would never work. You have the Wright Curtis flyer in the Navy a few years later.
Okay.
But anyway, as we say, going back there, they, you know, when they built that airplane, they were smart and they patented everything on there. So anybody started building another airplane, change it, they had them in the courts. They were suing them because of the patents. And that lasted for about 11 years. So the development of aircraft from the Wright brothers on up really, you know, they played a big part into it until finally, and that's why the SPAD is built in France and in England. All the SPADs were built over in England because the Wright brothers said, if you're not going to acknowledge, we'll take our technology over to France. And I think 22 of them were built in England. But all the other SPADs were built in France. And that's the type of history you don't know, but this is what you get. You think of the Wright brothers first.
Yeah.
You think them the first in flight. But you don't know the rest of the history behind
it. There were a lot of guys in the race that were close.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, just like the Civil War. And like I said, I love the Civil War. We're known for the Civil War. But there's other history in this county that we need to express and show to other people that just makes it a better county.
Yeah. Yeah. No, more options. What's your favorite thing? At the whole, can you pinpoint one thing that you like the best?
Yeah. I got the Travel Air 2000. Really? Believe it or not, I think it shocked him to say that. I'd love to fly all those airplanes, to be honest with you. But I look at this Travel Air, and it's a Barnstormer, okay? When the Barnstormers went in and landed, they had one single front seat, and they flew from the back, so they'd get maybe a buck. I don't know what they charge to go fly, but the Travel Air 2000, a two-seater up front. So they're getting twice the money for the same flight they'd get for one person. I love it because it was one of the first airplanes that used steel tubing, and it was a safe airplane, safer than the wooden airplanes. I mean, I would fly every one of them, but, you know, the SPAD I'd love to fly, and it's 100 years old. Then you got the E-1, it's 99 years old. We don't want to take a chance to ever lose something like that of history.
Sure.
But when you look at the Travel Air, and I think Mr. Curtis is, hopefully, we're trying to get all the engines started sometime in the future, and maybe someday we'll take that Vaulty one back to Oshkosh, where in 1971 it flew in there and it won the grand championship for the antique aircraft. And maybe we can get these guys to Air Wing to get in with us, and I know if we get it to Oshkosh, we're going to bring back another trophy.
What's your favorite thing, Luke?
Well, you know, it's there's so many of them, but I have to say the mail wing, the Eastern Mail Wing, Eastern Air Transport, because to know that that mail wing used to fly the airmail. We talk about airmail. That was how it got there, airmail. And to know they would pick up a bag in the air, they would fly by fires that were lit on the ground, that they didn't have beacons, they'd fly from fire to fire. And sometimes they'd end up where you'd have clouds at 600 feet, and they were flying in the clouds. You know, there's one story that's my favorite. It's about Dick Merrill. They all had things like lions and rabbits and squirrels, stuffed animals. They were celebrities when they landed with the mail. But Dick, he had a squirrel, a flying squirrel. And one day over South Carolina, the weather was so bad, the squirrel left the cockpit. Now, we don't know who was smarter, Dick or the squirrel, but that squirrel was never seen again. And believe it or not, this is a true story, because he had a little flying squirrel in his pocket when he flew in the 30s. So stories like that, you know, when you tell kids that, they're amazed. They're amazed to listen to these pilots tell these stories, you know, and that's what makes it so great.
Yeah.
So remember, the flying squirrel is nocturnal. So they flew at night. So we think there's a chance that this flying squirrel, and they do fly, and they're nocturnal. So maybe
so you're saying he's still in South Carolina?
I think it had a good chance.
He's an old squirrel.
Old squirrel.
Very old squirrel. Gary Skinner, Luke Curtis here. Shannon Air Museum, our focus, shannonairmuseum.com. The fly-in, the air show, is Saturday the 28th, 10 to 4 at Shannon Airport. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFEA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Luke Curtis here, Gary Skinner here. We're talking Shannon Air Museum, shannonairmuseum.com. Before we get out of here, guys, again, Luke, Saturday the 28th from 10 to 4 at Shannon Airport. It is you've got a fly-in, an air show. It's going to be the place to be.
You don't want to miss Saturday the 28th at Shannon from 10 to 4. It's going to be a great event, a great time. It'll be a great day, so don't miss that. First air show in 36 years.
Yeah. No, this is to talk to you guys, see the excitement, and just to see the vision of what you've got planned here. This is you talk about museums, and we're talking ground floor here, but this is going to be pretty cool.
It's going to be cool. We're going to try to make it do the best to make it the best in our area. So it's a great place for people to see and interact in, be interactive.
Gary, this is, like we said, this is really taking off.
It's so fantastic. It's just another asset to the county. And people have to realize that there's an economic for the county here, benefits that we have. It's just a very historical thing that you bring your children to, and we want to get those children started in aviation. It's a great career, many opportunities, Mr. Curtis said. We enjoy it. It's something that this county can be very proud of when we have people come in, and the first words is, wow.
And check out the Robin's Nest Cafe. I learned today about the Cuban sandwich. I've been hearing for a couple of years from Mark Taylor about the milkshake, so I'll be by to check them out.
It's open to the public. I mean, people don't know about it so much yet, but come on down and enjoy a milkshake and a Cuban sandwich.
ShannonAirMuseum.com, the website, ShannonAirMuseum.com. Again, the air show is 10 to 4 next on Saturday the 28th at Shannon Airport. Luke Curtis, Gary Skinner, thank you.
Hey, thanks, Ted.
Thanks, Ted. I enjoyed it.
That's it for Town Talk. We will see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.